Welcome into the Michelle and Junie show. I'm Michelle Knezovic. We've got Junie Riddle and Jared Cassidy live from the studio today. Happy holidays, Nashville. Hope you had a great Christmas yesterday if you celebrated it, and now looking forward to the new year. But listen, there are so much happening in the sports world right now. We had a lot of NFL games on Christmas Eve. But first up, guys, how are you doing this morning? Junie, how was your holidays? Your little son had his first Christmas, so that is a very, very big one.
Well, his first Christmas was absolutely eventful, Michelle. We drove up to Louisville on Friday to go see my parents, and it took us 9 hours to get from Nashville to Louisville. And, you know, I filled in for Chase on Chase Willie and D-Mace on Friday, so we didn't get out of here till about 2:33. And we were driving all the way up, like I said, to Louisville, and we got past Bowling Green. And I was like, okay, this is smooth sailing. Like, it's roads are pretty clear. There's not much traffic. But as soon as we hit Bowling Green, Kentucky, it was all downhill from there. We had to take multiple detours. There was ice on the road, multiple semi-trucks either off in the ditch or I saw going southbound on I-65. There was, you know, three or four semi-trucks that were just turned around. So, you know, but the pro that I am, I'm an excellent driver in the snow. I pride myself on that. We made it there safe and sound, didn't slip and slide not one time. It was very stressful, but we enjoyed the holidays after that. But definitely had an eventful and story-filled Christmas to tell little man later on.
I love that, Junie. And listen, anybody who was traveling, I know I had about three flights get canceled. So hope everybody was safe traveling and got to where they needed to be. Jared, how was your little one? You have a little one as well. How was Christmas, and did Santa treat him well?
Oh, yeah. Santa had a great night of bringing some gifts to our house. Always eventful. This was his second Christmas. He's still grasping the concept of unwrapping presents, but I would assume that by next year he'll be a pro at it. But, yeah, it's been a wild couple of days. I spent a lot of it here in this building throughout the Christmas holiday, so just getting over being in this snow. I'm tired of it.
Oh, I think we can all agree. And on that note, quickly, thank you to everybody who was working during this holiday. Thank you to all the workers who, you know, cleared the snow, got those roads safe enough for everybody to drive and people to travel. Wouldn't be able to do it without you. The Michelle and Junie Show is presented by the Nashville Jam Company, Nashville's premier breakfast and brunch spot. Also presented by Superbook Sports. We've got a packed day today, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to go for 2 hours today from 9 to 11 a.m. And then Chase will have some NASCAR news for you all at 11 a.m. And then Stillman and Company will be on from 2 to 6 regular programming today. So there is nothing short to talk about, and we're just going to dive right into it. The show is primarily going to be talking about the Tennessee Titans and their loss to the Houston Texans on Saturday, Christmas Eve. You know, Junie, we previewed the game all week on the station. We talked about the game all week. Ryan Tannehill's availability was questionable. You see multiple guys. Ben Jones heads to IR. Nate Davis. A lot of the offensive linemen were on the injury report. Injuries upon injuries upon injuries. But you think, okay, Derrick Henry's still healthy. And we know his success that he has had over the Houston Texans. Will Malik Willis and Derrick Henry be able to two-peat? Because Malik Willis had one of his NFL starts in Houston earlier this year. But unfortunately, they fall to the Houston Texans. Junie, what were your initial takeaways from this game? We're obviously going to get into a lot of things on this game, where the season is going, and what the future of this Tennessee team could look like. But what were just your initial takeaways from Saturday's matchup?
My initial takeaways were the Titans are banged up in the areas that they just cannot be banged up in. I mean, you talk about the three position groups that this team really struggles in, and I would say it's the secondary, the offensive line, and the wide receiving core. And the wide receiving core was there in full, but how is a wide receiving core going to get going when, number one, you have a rookie quarterback that still has a lot of learning to do, and granted, I felt like he looked a lot more comfortable in the game against the Texans than he had in his two previous starts, but obviously that's going to grow with maturation throughout, you know, his rookie season. But with the offensive line struggles, it's just really hard to give an accurate assessment of Malik Willis. And obviously he sure did make some mistakes, but it's also when, you know, when you're constantly getting rushed and you have your offensive tackles just allowing rushers just to go straight in. Like Dennis Daly, I'm sick and tired of talking about this guy. He looks terrible. He is terrible. And unfortunately, they have no other option to go to. And then you look at the secondary and how banged up they are. The Davis Mills he took advantage of it full force. There was definitely a lot of plays that surprised me that Davis Mills was able to make down the field to his tight ends, to his receivers. This Titans defense just couldn't do enough to get it done, although I wouldn't say they played a horrible game as an entire unit.
Judy, I think what you mentioned there was very, very important was Davis Mills and the Houston Texans were able to capitalize off of turnovers and the Tennessee Titans weren't able to capitalize off of turnovers. You get the interception and then Derrick Henry has the fumble, which we'll get more into a little bit later and those struggles that he has had so far this year. But the Titans weren't able to capitalize off of turnovers and get some points. So it looks like we've got our first caller today. We've got Adam in Portland on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam, how are you doing this morning? How was your holidays and how are you doing after the loss?
The holidays were fantastic. We had a great time with our family. Hopefully you guys had a great one as well. As far as that loss, I'm on the fence. In a way, I feel like it doesn't matter. I don't know that Jacksonville's going to lose another game before they play us. I've been feeling, and I don't want to be part of the big collective majority that's like fire Todd Downing, but if you're going to fire Todd Downing, why not do it like right now, this morning, and then let somebody else, you know, even if you don't fire him, if you don't want to be that, let somebody else call plays. Let Tim Kelly call the plays this week, see what it looks like against Dallas, and then have him ready, you know, or Dobbs. Either one, have somebody ready. Try something different. The offense is so anemic and, like, just sputtering so hard. And then you see your defense playing as hard as they're playing just to keep you in games. 20 points should be enough. Like, you should be able to get your offense to 20 points.
Now, I'm sorry, Adam, real quick. I understand the fire Todd Downing the notion here, but is somebody else coming in to call plays going to fix the offensive line, the missing blocking assignments coming from the blind side on the QB? Is Josh Dobbs a guy that really hasn't played, you know, significant snaps really a lot in his career in the regular season? It's pretty much all preseason. Do you think that those changes are actually going to come in and save this team, enable for them to win the take-all game in Week 18 against Jacksonville?
All right, so this may sound stupid. I don't know why. When you're saying that, I think of Kyle Phillips. For some reason, I'm thinking of this guy a lot. I don't know why. I don't hear people talking about him because he's not present. But I heard that he's getting close to getting back. If you had him running hitch routes, because he's real, like, sneaky quick, if you had him running hitch routes and was 5 yards away from Malik at all times, wouldn't that be helpful? I mean, people do that. Brady's done it for years. He hasn't always had, like, the dopest offensive line ever, but he's always had this, like, little scat guy who's open because he's fast and he's 5 yards away from him. So why not do that for Malik? Why not put somebody who could run quick routes always be available for him?
Because Tom Brady gets rid of the ball too quick, whereas Malik's first instinct is to run the ball. His first instinct is not to throw the ball.
Well, of course, you know, like, and I'm not sure that Malik is going to be the answer beyond the season. But what I'm saying, man, is obviously it's not working with Downing. So why not have Tim Kelly come in there and put something or somebody that, like, you know, like they always say on defense, like, we're going to have this guy spying the quarterback. Well, let's have somebody on offense spying the quarterback and always be available for him. You know, like, because our offensive line, you're right, Dennis Daly, what a terrible name. Like, I can't even hear that name. It ruins my day. But there's the same dudes on our offensive line are doing the same stuff he's doing. It's not just him. It's like as a unit, they're the worst in the league. I don't even know anybody would be an upgrade. You could give me five new dudes, and I'd be like, I trust them more than I trust the five that I have out there right now.
Thanks for the call, Adam. You have a couple of different points that I want to touch on here. And listen, if you have any thoughts on the game, you can text us, call us. Our phone and text line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So I know we're probably going to get a lot of this today is the fire Todd Downing and the offensive play calling. And Junie, I think you brought up a really good point there. You know, the play calling isn't going to fix the guys on the offensive line. The play calling isn't going to bring guys back from IR, you know, and he mentioned Kyle Phillips, right? Kyle Phillips has not been available since week one. He's been on IR. You've got other guys on IR, such as David Long Jr. You got now Ben Jones on IR. There is only one spot left because they've had so many guys go to IR this season. They only have one spot left to bring somebody back. You know how you only have a certain amount of guys you can put on IR and then they can come back for the season. So, you know, I don't know if Kyle Phillips would be the guy they would choose, right? You look at a David Long Jr. What if he's looking a little bit healthier and you know how much of an asset he is to your defense? There is a bunch of different ways you can go with it. You know, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Is it the play calling? Is it the players? But I want to ask you a question, Junie, specifically about this Titans offense on the other side. You are listening to the Michelle and Junie Show. We will be recapping the Houston Texans win in Nissan Stadium 19-14 over the Tennessee Titans all the way until 11 a.m. today. You are listening to the Michelle and Junie Show on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. Welcome back into the Michelle and Junie Show this morning on this beautiful Monday morning. I'm Michelle Knezovic. I'm live from Chicago today. We got Junie Riddle and Jared Cassidy, both live from the studio in Nashville today. Our show is presented by the Nashville Jam Company, Nashville's premier breakfast and brunch spot, and also Superbook Sports. Listen, download their app. You can get some great odds. You got a little Thursday night football coming up. The Cowboys are coming to town, but before the Cowboys come to town, we need to recap all that happened in Nissan Stadium on Saturday. The Texans beat the Titans 19-14, and now the Jacksonville Jaguars are in the lead for the AFC South, and it looks like Week 18 will be a showdown to see who will take the division. But first, we're going to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. AB in Nashville, what's up?
Hey, how y'all doing this morning?
Doing good, thanks.
Hopefully everybody had a Merry Christmas.
Sure did.
We did, certainly.
Man, I'm just calling to talk about this game. Really, the game itself, it brings that R word into the front and center, you know, like everybody's talking about how they fired the GM and everything. And that just kind of reassured that they're probably on a rebuild, man. And it sucks because we had such a great team for the past couple of years. You know, we had such a strong defense for the last 2 years, I think, in my opinion. And it looked like we were going to bring most of those guys back this year. And it's just an injury bug, man. Can't beat that injury bug. But at the end of the day, I think it's going to come down to what's going to happen next year. Everybody's worried about what's going to happen at the end of this season, but I think this season is really wrapped up for the Titans, whether they make it to the playoffs or not, because we're really not going to be able to do anything against a lot of these powerhouses that's out there, you know?
And I'll tell you, AB, I'll tell him this.
I agree.
He said, if the Titans make the playoffs, listen, AB, Titans aren't making the playoffs. They're not. They're like you said. There's a certain point in time.
They're playing out of their mind right now, man. And they came from nothing to lose. We were 5-2 at one point, and they were 2-5. You know, and they're playing with nothing to lose right now. They're playing with house money. It's hard to play against a team like that.
Well, you're also talking about a team that drafted a quarterback number one overall, who has been considered a generational talent. And it's his second year, and he's finally started to put things together. He doesn't have to deal with Urban Meyer. He's got, you know, he's got a Super Bowl winning head coach that just won one, you know, what, 5-6 years ago. So, you know, that you're seeing the difference in real time with Jacksonville. And I said this on Chase, Willie, and D-Mace on Friday when I was filling in for Chase McCabe. It is time to try and strip it down. The Titans had a window. That window is now over with. It's done. It's gone. You know? And I was talking to Willie, and Willie was kind of baffled by me saying this to him, that I think that they should move off Ryan Tannehill this offseason. Because why would you want to bring Ryan Tannehill back when your team and your roster is getting depleted every single year? And like I said, this window's over. You want to move off players a year before, not a year after. And if they keep trying to win with this core when the trajectory is going downward, you're going to get stuck in that mediocre, can't lose enough to get good players, and you're not winning enough to be competent at all. So that's where I'm at with it.
Thanks for the call, AB. And yeah, Junie, I see the point you mentioned, and I also really want to quickly go back to, you know, Adam in Portland, our first caller, on, you know, the whole fire Todd Downing situation. And people seem to, just from the gauge I've been able to get from Twitter, things I've been able to get from our text line, our phone line, you know, after that Texans game and that loss, are really kind of on the, you know, fire, rebuild, and they're ready to, you know, kind of have a clean slate. But here's the way I look at it right now, right? So, you know, if you get off Ryan Tannehill next year, obviously you couldn't this year because his contract was so big. Okay. Say you want to fire Todd Downing. Okay. I say you just don't even do it until the end of the season. I mean, I know that they are not going to win the division. I mean, hey, maybe they'll surprise us. Maybe they'll win in Jacksonville, but I highly, highly doubt it. Jacksonville is on a roll right now. And you mentioned how they drafted a quarterback. Okay, look at what has happened in season right now with the Tennessee Titans. Firing the GM was a huge turning point for this team, right? The morale became really low. And then all of the comments and all of the talk, you know, everybody's just got to focus. Everybody's got to be positive. And then you're just having guys after guys get injured and injured. And you saw the frustration from a lot of these players. Mike Vrabel even said after the game, you know, guys have to love preparing. Guys have to love preparing to play on Sundays. Jeffrey Simmons mentioned something too in the locker room. I think it was in TD's interview, and said something like, guys need to absolutely put everything into this outside of the building, not just the 9-to-5 in the building, but outside, what you put into your body, you know, how you exercise, how you rehab, everything. You know, it comes down to the little things, right? You have to eat, sleep, breathe football. And after this 5-game losing streak, your GM gets fired. I think the last thing you do is you fire your OC midseason. Just get through the 2 games, then you can fire him. But I agree with you. I think it's time for the Titans to move off Ryan Tannehill and be able to get something for Ryan Tannehill while you can, or get a team to take over his contract while you can. Because Ryan Tannehill, when he was healthy this year, he had a pretty efficient season. He was the least of our worries, which is actually ironic to think, because, you know, the Cincinnati game a year ago, everyone thought, well, you know, Ryan Tannehill better have the best season of his life. And I know that the playoffs would have been a huge testament to whether fans, you know, were on the Ryan Tannehill bandwagon or not, because it really is about, you know, him performing in the playoffs. But, you know, he's been the least of our worries this year. And I don't know how the Titans, Amy Adams Shrunk, can't look at themselves and say, how is this team having so many injuries year to year? The Titans broke the record last year with the most players used, about 90 players. This year, they're in the 80s again. I know their injuries, and I know they're playing football, and I know, you know, it's not specifically the training staff, but how can't you question why this is happening to them year after year, Junie?
Well, and I heard one person say it, that 1 year, sure, but 2 years in a row, it's not a coincidence anymore. And something has got to give. And you know, Vrabel came out and said that they switched things up a little bit, and, you know, they're trying different things. At training camp wasn't always the same, and their, you know, their practice regimens aren't the same. Because, I mean, why would you, when you set an NFL record for injuries the season prior? You know, you'd think you'd want to do something different, but the changes aren't working. And I don't know if it's, you know, maybe here's, you know, the hidden thing in all of this, is that maybe John Robinson has just picked up too many injury prone players, and maybe that's why he got fired. I mean, that's an absolute possibility.
Yep.
And the thing that no one's really talking about, maybe it's the fact, not the players that he's picked, not the players that he's traded. Maybe it's just the fact that he can't pick guys that can consistently stay on the field. And it has cost this team its window. Because like I said, last year they had probably one of the best rosters in the entire NFL. It was a go-for-it year. The defense was there. It was a top-notch defense. They go out and get a guy with Julio Jones, who, you know, at the time, I felt like was a good acquisition from what he had done the year prior, although he dealt with injuries. I thought, you know, offseason, he'll get healthy. You know, he was still averaging 100 yards a game in the games that he played for the Falcons in 2020. It seemed like everything was going right for the Titans, and it just didn't. They got hit by the injury bug. 2021 was their go-for-it year. This year, you know, they didn't really replenish the offensive line well enough. They traded A.J. Brown. I didn't think they did enough to bulk up the receiving core. And the injuries got loaded up on the defensive end this year instead of the offensive end. So it's a multitude of things, Michelle. But, you know, going back to what Adam said, I don't think that firing the OC is gonna make any kind of difference, because
it's not gonna do anything right now.
Well, it doesn't change anything, because you're gonna tell me that Malik Willis is gonna learn a completely new offense and a completely new system in the last 2 weeks of the season, and that's gonna make him more comfortable? I don't think so.
It just doesn't matter. I personally think, you know, it just wouldn't do anything, right? I mean, maybe if after the DUI happened, after Thursday Night Football, if that was when you chose to do it, I don't personally think in-season firings do really any justice, because of how much prep and the relationships that you've built through training camp and through the first half of the year. But, you know, if there was any time to do it, I feel like, you know, that probably would have been the time, or a suspension or something. And yes, I know that you have Tim Kelly, who's your passing game coordinator. I don't know how much behind the scenes he is doing, but it's clear that when you watch on the sidelines, you know, Todd Downing is the one calling the plays. And I know Vrabel, Caroline had a question, a back and forth with him at the press conference last week before this Houston Texans game. And he said, you know, I know every play that's happening. And yes, of course, you know, he's the head coach, but you know, when it comes to like timing and who is calling the plays on the sideline, it's not like Vrabel is like he doesn't have time to like check off every single play, right? I mean, of course he can be like, hey, Todd Downing, you know, if we're in this situation, you know, coming up, like I want to run this. But yeah, he knows what Todd Downing is calling, but he's not, you know, giving him the okay every single time to call the play. And Judy, I think you hit on it, right? Like they were in their window last year, and everybody knows that. Every Tennessee Titans fan knows that. And John Robinson knows that. I mean, we saw him crying at the NFL Combine last year when asked the question, because he knew that was his chance. That was the closest to a Super Bowl he could ever be in his career. You just never know where his career will take him. He knows that they had to win two games. And, you know, if you're Ryan Tannehill, it's kind of bittersweet too, because he's probably thinking the exact same thing. A lot of people are, you know, if we would have just done a little bit more in that game. But, you know, now they are so far gone from that team. They are so far gone from being able to compete with the top teams in the AFC, in the NFL as a whole right now. And they are so far from being able to compete for a Super Bowl. And, you know, it really is sad, because you watched a running back change the game. And I think Derrick Henry will be a Hall of Famer, but you watched his potential kind of get wasted because they weren't able to fully go for it and get that Super Bowl. And Derrick Henry has been what has held this team together this year, right? We can say, you know, he's digressed a little bit, but the guy's still almost at 1,600 yards for the season. But he's had one thing that he hasn't been able to overcome, and we saw it earlier in his career. Junie and I are going to talk about that on the other side of one thing that has cost a couple games. You're listening to the Michelle and Junie Show on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app.
Trying to pack extra yards. I take care of the ball. We practice that. That's on me. No excuse. Organization puts a lot on me to, you know, carry the ball and, you know, put a lot on my shoulders to, you know, do what I can for this team and, you know, and make plays. And, you know, it's 3 years in a row I've fumbled the ball. No excuse. I need to be better. I'm taking care of the ball. That's what you're supposed to do as a running back. And it's like 3 weeks. I have not done that. And got to get better. Got to get back to work. I feel terrible about it. I feel terrible until we play a game. And, you know, it's just no excuse for it. I got to be better. And, you know, he made a play. And I didn't have ball high time.
After that play, you came back onto the field without the sleeves on. Was that to kind of get a better feel for the ball? Like, does that really affect you?
I'm trying to find something. That's the case, but you know, at the end of the day, it's got to, you know, fight for extra yards, knowing that, you know, people are going to be chasing from behind and looking forward, and they'll try to get the ball out. And, you know, I was trying to break in a tackle. Guy came from behind, and you know, he raked it out. And I said, no excuse me, through. So we're going to run the ball. So I got to find something different. And if I have to drop the sleeve, that's what I'll do. But I think I'm going to do that just to see if it'll help change. But, you know, I'm very pissed about that, and you know, I feel terrible. Apologize to my teammates because, you know, I take care of the ball.
That was Derrick Henry after the Tennessee Titans lost to the Houston Texans. Houston Texans won 19-14 on Saturday in Nissan Stadium. Just talking about how he has struggled with fumbles. Teron Davenport asked, you know, you took your sleeves off. He said he was just trying to get another feel for the ball out there. Welcome back into Michelle, to the Michelle and Junie Show on 102.5, 106.3. The Game, our show is presented by the Nashville Jam Company and Super Book Sports. Listen, if you want to weigh in, if you have any thoughts on this Tennessee Titans season, if you have any thoughts specifically on the Houston Texans game, you can text us or call us. Our phone text line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and the phone number is 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You can also watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. And this Thursday, join Chase, Willie, and D-Mace as they broadcast live from Almost Friday, located downtown at 415 4th Ave South. The guys will be giving a pair of tickets to see Luke Combs in Nissan Stadium. Love him. And that is Thursday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Almost Friday downtown. Obviously, that will be previewing the Thursday night football matchup we got in Nissan Stadium this week as the Cowboys come to town. But Junie, we talked about it. I teased it heading into this break. We talked about Derrick Henry and the struggles that he has had fumbling the ball. And I brought it up to you before we came on the show this morning, and I said, you know, it never really has been something that we've seen in Derrick Henry's career, or at least in his professional career. But you brought up something to me that I didn't fully realize, that he struggled a bit with fumbles early on in his career as a running back.
Yeah, and that was something that held him back, you know, from being the Titans starter. I mean, he got drafted in 2016, and he wasn't really the go-to feature back until 2018. It took a while for Derrick Henry to really get going, and fumbles were part of the reason. Even in 2019, when I feel like that was really kind of his breakout year, because he started to he showed a lot of flashes in 2018, but 2019 was his breakout year. I mean, he had five fumbles. And that's his career high. And it was kind of overshadowed by how well the Titans did and performed in the second half of the season. But he's got six fumbles this year. And when you talk about a Titans team that's offensive line has been, I would say, bottom five for most of the year. I'd say in the beginning of the year they were really good at run blocking. But, you know, When you put the ball on the ground six times in a year, that is not good. And I mean, if he wasn't Derrick Henry, he would have already been benched by now. And I'm not trying to say that to harp on Henry, because he's done so much for this franchise and he's really the only answer for this offense. And they're gonna keep feeding him the ball, but part like his fumbles have definitely turned the tide in a game. It did it in this game against the Houston Texans. It did it when he fumbled before halftime against the Jacksonville Jaguars when they were here a couple of weeks ago, because they were in complete control of that game up until that point. So, you know, it's at some point, like he said, he knows it himself. It's unacceptable. Running backs in this league can't put the ball on the ground. And that's how you get put on the bench. And for him, you know, fortunately, he is a borderline Hall of Fame player, and they're not going to do that because what other options do they have?
Well, and Junie, I think what you said was perfect there, right? If he wasn't Derrick Henry, he would be benched. But right, it's almost a catch 22, right? Because you can't play without him, right? But then he fumbles the ball, and I saw a lot of things on Twitter like, you know, that fumble cost the game. Okay, well, you wouldn't even be in the game if Derrick Henry didn't rush for 126 yards and a touchdown. So it hasn't been something we've seen recently with Derrick Henry, but I will add another layer to it. We have seen him with AJ Brown also on the offense. So it's given the defense, you know, they've had to split their coverage. Okay, are we going to focus on AJ Brown? Are we going to focus on Derrick Henry? Whereas Derrick Henry is quite literally the only offensive threat they have. Treylon Burks at times when he's been able to be healthy on the field, but yes, he's still a rookie. You know, Austin Hooper at times hasn't given the production that we thought at the beginning of the season. But, you know, when you really look at it, who is going to scare a defense? And it's only Derrick Henry. So when you have everybody focusing on him, I'm not saying that the fumbles are acceptable. And he knows that he took responsibility. He said, that one's on me. I think of another fumble. Can't remember the exact game, but when Treylon Burks was running right behind him, was able to recover it in the end zone and they were able to get the touchdown. But, you know, that was right in front of the goal line. It is a problem, but I also just bring it back to, okay, well, you know, he's been the only one. He is the reason, you know, that you have won so many games. And I know it's a team sport. And I know everybody plays a role, but think about if this offense didn't have Derrick Henry, Junie. There would be no offense. There would be no offense.
Listen, without Derrick Henry, I truly believe because, you know, Ryan Tannehill is a serviceable quarterback. He's definitely above average in this league, you know, but when he has the offensive line and lack of pass protection, you know, it really does affect him, and he can't really do all of the things that he wants to do. You can't throw the ball downfield because simply you just don't have the time to do it. So when you're talking about a guy like Derrick Henry, like you mentioned, he already has over 1,600 yards. He's one of the league-leading rushers. But I think that play that you mentioned in the Cincinnati Bengals game when yes. he did fumble inside the five, I mean, that's literally the story of this season. Like, Derrick Henry took a screen pass and ran it down the field for 75 yards, and that was really the only big offensive play in that entire game for the Titans. Other than that, it was really a bunch of field goals that kept them in it. And without that play, I think Cincinnati, you know, wins by double digits. But that's the story of the season, is Derrick Henry making big plays, but also at times putting the ball on the ground and giving teams other opportunities. And again, you know, fortunately, Treylon Burks was there to recover for the touchdown on that play. But imagine if he didn't. Imagine where the morale of this team would be because, I mean, really, you know, the Cincinnati Bengals were the last good team that the Titans really competed with. So it's just tough, and it's tough to see where this team is at. And you mentioned AJ Brown, and my biggest take on that was when he got traded, I was completely okay with it. I was like, that's fine. I understand why the Titans are doing this, but what they didn't do is they didn't go out and get the right wide receiver, and they didn't shore up the offensive line. And those were two things that they had to do if you were going to get rid of a playmaker like that, and they just didn't. And it's just all these moves and all these injuries and just everything. It's just all adding up to the collapse of this team in the second half of the season.
Okay, so let's think. So before the AJ Brown trade happened, because Junie, when the trade happened, you know, I didn't love it. I think that they still should have kept AJ Brown because of just the wide receiver we've seen him become. But I didn't think it would be this bad because at the time, you know, Taylor Lewan was healthy. They thought that Dylan Radins was going to be able to be a starter on that offensive line. You had just gotten Austin Hooper. You thought he was going to be, you know, a really productive tight end. We saw the way that Ryan Tannehill performed with Jonnu Smith as his tight end under Arthur Smith. And so you thought, okay, we got a number one tight end for Ryan Tannehill. You also got then you traded AJ Brown. But you had Robert Woods, who was going to be your second wide receiver. Okay, but then you draft Treylon Burks. Okay, a star rookie, first-round pick. Okay, maybe he'll be able to pick up some of the production. But what has hurt this team? You know, Austin Hooper, we've talked about it, has had some X plays that have helped some games, but hasn't been a consistent guy for this Tennessee Titans team. I mean, it took him practically half the year, I feel like, to get a catch. I remember sitting next to you in the press box, and I was like, we looked at each other, and we're like, whoa. It was his first catch, his first target of the game. And we were surprised because I thought he was going to be, you know, a huge offensive factor for Ryan Tannehill this year. Then Treylon Burks gets hurt. Then Robert Woods isn't the guy that you needed him to be because we thought he was going to be a wide receiver too. To an AJ Brown, and that's what he thought when he came to Tennessee. But he is just very far into his career. You know, he's older and He doesn't have the capability. He's not able to get separation like a wide receiver one. And then your offensive line, you know, Dylan Radins doesn't work out. Nicholas Petit-Frere is still a freshman. Taylor Lewan tears his ACL. Aaron Brewer is smaller than, you know, a lot of the other O-line guys out there. And then Ben Jones struggles with some concussions this year and is really the anchor of that offensive line. And when you have no other offensive threat and everybody just piles on Derrick Henry, you know, it's not going to last you and you're not going to be able to compete with the other teams. It's crazy to think that, you know, the game against the Kansas City Chiefs, right? The Titans went to 7-3 and now have lost 5 in a row. So I bring it to this point. The Jags are in the front of the AFC South right now, and Titans fans, if the Tennessee Titans were able to beat Jacksonville week 18 and head to the playoffs, would they be able to beat any other team? Or would you rather them just throw in the towel now, lose the next two games, and try to get potentially a top 10 draft pick? Junie and I will discuss that on the other side of the break. You are listening to the Michelle and Junie Show on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. You heard the commercial. It is Michelle and Junie. Welcome into the show if you are just joining us. I'm Michelle Knezovic, joined with Junie Riddle. We've got Jared Cassidy as well. Our show is presented by the Nashville Jam Company, Nashville's premier breakfast and brunch spot. Also, Superbook Sports. Listen, download their app. At the end of the show, we'll give you a couple props for Thursday Night Football coming up on Thursday in Nashville. Also, we got a little Monday Night Football action tonight. We're discussing the Tennessee Titans' loss to the Houston Texans 19-14. So another divisional loss. The only wins the Texans have in the entire NFL are to the Jacksonville Jaguars and to the Tennessee Titans. Woof. So two divisional wins for the Houston Texans. But it brings us to the point where, you know, the Tennessee Titans have a quick week. They've got Thursday Night Football. And then on the other end of it, they have got a week 18 showdown in Jacksonville. I will be in attendance for the game, and this game will be for the AFC South. But big question now is, if the Tennessee Titans win in Jacksonville, because I think that is a very, very high task considering their team right now, considering their roster, considering not knowing what Ryan Tannehill's availability is, can they win in the playoffs? Tennessee Titans fans, text us, call us in, 615-737-1025. Our phone and text line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Or do you want them to lose the next two games and then hope you're going to be right there for a top 10 draft pick and, you know, and begin the rebuild, right? You move off Ryan Tannehill in the offseason. And there was an interesting topic that was brought up. Peter Stryker of Good Morning Football brought it up on Twitter and said, this is what I suggested on Good Morning Football. The winner of the Titans-Jags in Week 18 will win the AFC South. Do you bench all your players and rest them in Week 17 if that's the case? Or do you try to break the slump, Tennessee, obviously, because they're on that 5-game losing streak, and keep the momentum going as they head into Week 18? So, obviously, Mike Vrabel is not going to tank. The players aren't trying to lose, right? That's not the case. But do you rest your players on Thursday Night Football to then play them all week 18 because they do still have a chance for the playoffs? You know, we can put our thoughts in of, listen, I think if they win, you know, and they go to the playoffs, I don't think they have a chance at going far whatsoever, just considering the state of this roster, injuries, and none of their, they just don't have a healthy roster, point blank. And I don't think that these guys are going to be able to get healthy in 2 weeks, Junie, but, you know, Mike Vrabel's not going to do that. He's still going to try to win these games, but could his game plan be, you know, rest a lot of these guys on Thursday because it is a short week, and then give them extra time to rehab, get feeling better for week 18 and a chance to go to the playoffs?
Will they? No. No, they won't. It's just not it's just not something that Mike Vrabel would do. He's not going to do it. He sees this opportunity, a Thursday night game, as a morale to lift this team's spirits and get them on the right track and get them going. But the fact of the matter is the Dallas Cowboys beat the Philadelphia Eagles this past weekend, and the Cowboys are still playing for something. If the Cowboys went out and let's say Jalen Hurts doesn't come back and for whatever reason the Eagles lose out, Dallas Cowboys are going to be the NFC champions, and they are going to host a playoff game rather than go on the road to whoever the whoever wins the NFC South, which is an absolutely atrocious division within itself. But
yeah.
here's the deal.
AFC
here's
South and NFC South.
All the teams in the South just aren't having good seasons this year. But I would personally do it. This game on Thursday means absolutely nothing. It means nothing. No one cares. Like, if you lose, you're still going to have the same result in Week 18. It doesn't matter. And with the amount of injuries that you have, you would think that it could make a little bit of difference if Jeffrey Simmons could be a little bit more fresh, Danico Autry could be a little bit more fresh. Like, that matters. And for me personally, I don't think it matters anyway, because even if they did play everybody, I think the Cowboys are going to come in here and absolutely mollywop the Tennessee Titans. I mean, what the Cowboys are really good at doing is rushing the passer. Micah Parsons has easily become one of the best players in the entire NFL, very multi-versatile linebacker, and he is going to wreak havoc on Malik Willis. I know we're not talking about the Cowboys game right now, but I'm saying that Micah Parsons has 3 sacks, at least in this game coming.
Junie's calling an early shot. Well, listen, Mike Vrabel spoke on, you know, if there would be a different game plan heading into this Cowboys game based on how Week 18 will be the game to win the AFC South. Here's what Mike Vrabel said.
Mike, now that you know that the finale at Jacksonville is for the division, does that change at all how you look at the next few days?
Well, I mean, I think it probably will. I mean, we got some guys that have played a lot of football for us that are far less than 100%. And it's those guys that I appreciate that no matter what, find a way to be here, you know, for this team. So we'll try to, you know, figure out who we have and who's available and then make some decisions.
So Mike Vrabel answer, right? Find out who's available and who can practice, who can play, make those decisions. But maybe his game plan will be a little different. Maybe some guys will be on snap counts because he knows that Week 18, the team still does have a chance to make it to the playoffs. And it is still the NFL. Anything can happen. Okay, looks like we got another caller. We got Chris from Atlanta on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What's up, Chris? Chris, happy Monday.
Happy Monday to y'all. And I hope you guys had a good Merry Christmas. Michelle, I saw where you were freezing in Chicago.
Yes, I was.
So on the question of the Titans and what they should do, if you ask me, I think that they definitely should go ahead and lose the Dallas game because, like Junie said, it has no bearing on the race as well. But for the Jacksonville game, I would also say let's lose because if you look where the Titans are in both the playoff picture and the draft picture, yes, if they win the game, yes, we'll win the AFC South, but it's the question of, okay, well, who would we have to play? We would have to play probably Baltimore in the first round. They've already clinched their spot. So say you win that game, then you have to play either Cincinnati, Kansas City, or Buffalo. Well, those are probably going to be all losses because they're all going to be at their homes. With the injured and depleted lineup that we have, it just doesn't make sense for us to go out there and say, we're going to be a one-and-done team. It doesn't make sense to me at all. But we're in the draft picture where we're at. We're almost sitting on that cusp of a top 10 pick. I know there's other teams below us that have lost, but you also have to look at, you know, who made their trades. There's going to be a few teams below us or within that top 10 that have 2 picks, you know, like a Houston, like a Cleveland, and all that. And so it's kind of precarious where I think we have to lose to even have a chance at a top 10 pick. And plus, with the way the lineup is structured, it doesn't look good. I mean, I would say if it was me, I mean, we have Ryan Tannehill, we have Derrick Henry on these, you know, maybe 1 year remaining deals. I would say, I know Titans fans are going to shoot me, but let's go ahead and see if we could try to trade them and recoup some of the value that we have. I mean, Derrick Henry is a great running back.
Thank you.
He could do something with it. You have Ryan Tannehill, who, when he is healthy and when he has an offensive line and a wide receiving core around him, can do good things. And that's the thing we don't have right now. So if it was me, I would say let's trade our top two guys. I know it's not going to sound great, and I know it's going to lead to the possibility of us stinking it up for a few years, but recoup some of that trade value. Let's build around some of these young guys like the Burks, like the Okonkwo, like the Byard on defense, and just kind of go from there. A rebuild can be semi-painless if we do it right. And all you had to do is just go down the street and look at the Nashville Predators. They were on the same arc as the Titans. They had one good year where they made it to the Stanley Cup final, and ever since then has been trying to get back to that spot. And they've made bad trades, they've made bad draft picks, and look where we're at now. We're good enough to make the playoffs, but we're also going to be one and done. And it's driving the city nuts. And the Titans are in that almost precarious spot. So let's rebuild it. Let's tear it down and go. So
thanks so much for the call, Chris. Listen, I think Chris had a bunch of good points there. And I think you made a great comparison between where the Nashville Predators are at right now and where the Tennessee Titans are at right now, right? Two teams who can make the playoffs, who can be one of those last teams in, but can't seem to push over the hump to win a couple games in the playoffs. And there's one other point that he mentioned about this Tennessee Titans team treating some guys. I have a couple thoughts on that coming up on the other side. You're listening to the Michelle and Junie Show, heading into hour two on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. Hour number two for the Michelle and Junie Show on 102.5, 106.3 the Game. I'm Michelle Knezovic. I'm live from Chicago this morning, and we've got Junie Riddle and Jared Cassidy back in Nashville at our game studios. Talking Titans this morning after their 19-14 loss against the Houston Texans. Heading into week 18, it will be a battle for the AFC South. But before they get there, they've got a Thursday night football matchup here in Nashville. Does that game matter? No, that Cowboys game does not matter at all when it comes to the playoff picture. But when you talk about, does it matter just to get a win, just to get a feel good, kind of change the momentum because the Tennessee Titans team has lost five in a row? Yeah, it does matter, right? Because you don't want to continue that just frustration in your locker room week after week for losing. You know, it's the worst thing. All the guys are frustrated. You can tell about that. But we had a caller on the other side of the break. His name was Chris from Atlanta. And Chris said that, you know, as a Tennessee Titans fan, he feels that it is time to trade a Ryan Tannehill, trade a Derrick Henry, get whatever you can for them now before you go another season. They get another year older, and both coming off, you know, good seasons. You know that, you know their career. Ryan Tannehill's just got to get healthy, and Derrick Henry is Derrick Henry. I think that you would be able to get trade value, obviously, for Ryan Tannehill. You know, he's a solid QB. I'd say he's pretty much right in the middle of the pack when it comes to looking at the entire NFL. But, you know, I look at Derrick Henry. I don't think you would be able to get much for Derrick Henry. You know,
no.
I know the running back that he is and how important he is to this Tennessee Titans offense. But, you know, look around the league. You look at, you know, the way teams want to play. They want to be throwing the ball, making big plays. You know, if he's a wide receiver, if he's an A.J. Brown, it's a much different story. But people don't like to pay their running backs. It was a really big deal when they paid Derrick Henry here. And yes, we've seen the success he has had, but you know, at this point it's, I don't think you could get much of anything for Derrick Henry. So the way I look at it is if you get a couple other years out of him, you bank on some rookies, maybe you try to draft a quarterback or.
I don't necessarily think that getting Derrick Henry traded is for the draft capital. I think it would be to get the money off the books. And as much as that's sad to say that Derrick Henry has come down to a cap casualty, is like Derrick Henry is a generational talent. I mean, there's not many running backs that are like him. There's not many running backs that have the production that he's had in his career. But the bottom line is. If you respect Derrick Henry as a player, you would send him to a team that he could go and try and win later on in his career, because he only has a couple more years left. I mean, he's 28 years old. you know, most running backs don't even make it to that age and are still playing at the elite level that he is. So he's very limited. We've already seen him lose a step this year. And the Titans keep holding on to this guy. He is going to fall and crash down with this team. It would be better to send him off to a contender to where he could actually go and compete and just know that he had his best years here, and that once it comes down to his retirement, he's going to be a Titan. Like, he's going to know that this is where his career started. This is a team that drafted him. This is where he set all those records. He's going to be known as a Tennessee Titan, but you got to send the guy off if that's the trajectory of this team, especially if you're considering moving Tannehill. You can't keep one of the two. If you're going to move one of them, you got to move both of them. It's not a singular deal. It's got to be a package.
Well, I mean, let's look at some other guys that, you know, the Titans will probably move off of if they do decide to go, you know, the rebuild route. Okay, Taylor Lewan, I think, is an easy one, right? You've seen him. Yeah, he's great on the offensive line, but these last 2 years just hasn't been able to stay healthy. I think you cut that contract. He's a cap casualty. Unless he decides, you know, he wants to stay here. He obviously is getting older. If he could figure out a way to stay here and take a massive pay cut, you know, I think that would be a win-win situation if he can stay healthy. But, you know, he's going to be a guy you got to get off of. Bud Dupree, I think, is another guy that they'll probably want to somehow get off of his contract. I think you still could get some value from Bud Dupree because of, you know, the games that he has played. He has been, you know, able to impact the quarterback. He just has to stay healthy, yeah, right?
And unfortunately, missed a lot of time, though.
And I was just going to say, unfortunately, you know, I feel like we can say this about a lot of the Tennessee Titans players, and then there's always a, but he has to stay healthy. Jared, I think you have a great point there. I mean, he came back too early last year off of the ACL. He said, you know, I tried to come back too early. So then he kind of took a step back, was out a couple more games, then came back in, had an abdominal injury. And now this year he's been on and off the field, struggling with a hip injury. And I remember, Junie, after the Indianapolis Colts game, you and I interviewed him in the locker room, and you could tell, yes, he was happy about the win, but he also was frustrated in himself, just saying, you know, like, I just have to be on the field. Because Vrabel made some comments on, you know, when we are paying guys this amount of money to play for us, they have to be on the field. And yeah, they know that. Yeah. They need to play. They need to work, right? So I think Bud Dupree knows that. Yes, I think at the time, a great get, but as you mentioned, another guy who suffered with injuries in Pittsburgh, coming off the ACL here, and now just hasn't been able to stay on the field. So I think those are a couple guys that you definitely could get off of those contracts.
There's a few more, too. I mean, you're also talking about Robert Woods. You can get off his contract. Yep. That's going to free up $10-plus million. Zach Cunningham, that's another $10-plus million.
Austin Hooper.
You can get off of. I see. That's the thing about Austin. Well, Austin Hooper, I think he'll be a free agent because he only signed a 1 year deal. But a lot of, like, you had mentioned something earlier about Austin Hooper, and really Austin Hooper's had a pretty solid season. Like, a lot of people talk about this team losing Jonnu Smith. Jonnu Smith's best year in Tennessee. He caught like 50 something balls for like 439 yards. Austin Hooper already has more receptions than every single year except for one for Jonnu Smith being here, and he already has 400 yards. So with two games left, he could get more yards this season in his first year as a Titan than Jonnu Smith ever did as a Tennessee Titan. So I don't necessarily know. I mean, you might be able to move off him just because you really want to elevate Chigga Conquo. So that's not a bad point, but Austin Hooper has been quietly pretty solid for this team, considering, you know, all the injuries, you know, Ryan Tannehill not being able to throw the ball as much as he wanted because of the lack of protection. But there's a lot of options. And I think if you move off Tannehill, you move off Henry, get those contracts out, you get all these guys out, you're going to have a ton of cap space. Your defense, if you choose, you're going to have money to re-sign guys like Jeffrey Simmons, bring some of these guys back. And you're also probably not going to be that good next year, and you're going to have some good draft picks for the next couple years. And it could be a quick turnaround with a really talented defense that you already have signed for the next couple of seasons. So, you know, it's a give and take, but I really think when you look at where this team is at, a rebuild is what you need to do. I really do. I just – the window's over. The window's over for this core.
And, Junie, you know – we've seen teams do it, right? The NFL is not like, it's not like the NHL. It's not like other sports. You can rebuild fairly quickly in the NFL, right?
And I call it retooling.
Yeah, retooling. Yeah. And I think you look at this past draft, you got a lot of young guys who have been able to show some really good sparks of light in their rookie season. So you got Roger McCreary, Chig Okonkwo. I think recently, you know, people have realized he is going to be a pretty explosive player for you all. You got Treylon Burks. I know he hasn't been able to stay healthy, but I do think he will be a solid receiver for you. Also, Kyle Phillips, if he ever gets healthy, right? We saw, you know,
story of this team, if they ever get healthy.
I know. I feel like I keep saying it 10 times after this, but you know, I even think Nicholas Petit-Frere on the offensive line, he will be a solid guy for you. I know that he has had some moments where he has really gotten blown up out there, but I think that they actually found something in him, which is ironic because, you know, you thought Dylan Radins was going to be the guy. He now is out for the season with a torn ACL as well. And I think fans would probably want him on the offensive line considering what the O-line looks like right now. So you do have, you also have Jeffrey Simmons that you have yet to pay. So you do have guys in positions. You're going to want to pay David Long Jr. So you have a lot of guys in key positions. A big question I have though is, what will they do at quarterback? Because I don't think that Malik Willis is the answer. I know they drafted him in the third round. It was, you know, low risk, high reward if it does work out. I didn't think he was going to see the field at all this year. Obviously, Ryan Tannehill gets hurt, so he's had to start a couple games. But I just don't think that he will be a starting quarterback in the NFL. Listen, he very much could be. We've seen crazier things happen. And we know that a lot of times just because, just if you are a great quarterback in college, which he played at Liberty, he was great at Liberty, but just doesn't mean it's going to transfer. And what I've seen from him so far, yeah, the guy can run, but he's not, his decision-making hasn't been the best. And yeah, he can develop, but I think he could be a solid backup. So would the Titans try to maybe draft a quarterback this year and next year? You've got a lot of young guys who have seen some promise just based off of, you know, scouts. Mel Kiper always does his, you know, top quarterbacks. You got a bunch this year, and then you also have a bunch next year. So, as Joe Rexroad calls it, would you call next year the fake tank, where you just kind of start Malik Willis, you let a lot of the younger guys just have a lot of snaps, and you know you're not going to win a lot of games because he's starting at quarterback and you don't have many stars out there. So a fake tank for maybe a,
I think that's the smart way to go. You want to see what you got in these young players. You move off this older core. I would say you try to keep as much as the defense, you know, like you had mentioned, maybe Bud Dupree, you can say goodbye to, and, you know, Harold Landry will come back next year, which would fill that void that we've seen from this season. So it wouldn't, like, it would be a huge loss losing Bud, and that would free up a lot of space, and you get rid of some of these contracts on offense of some of these older players that just can't stay on the field, and you just see what you got with these young guys. And yeah, you're going to lose, but listen, being mediocre, keeping Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry on this team next season, it's just going to keep delaying the inevitable. Like Chris from Atlanta had mentioned earlier, I love how he had talked about the Nashville Predators. It's like they keep trying to push the window for this core, and it's like ever since 2020, they won the President's Trophy, and I believe, what was it, 2018, 2019, Jared?
Yes, 2019, I believe.
2019. It's like Their window was over after that season. They lost a really competitive series to the Winnipeg Jets, and then after that, they were never the same. They haven't won a playoff series, you know, since that season. And at some point in time, you have to look at the team and what's best. And the worst place that you can be in the NFL is mediocre. Is around the 7, 8, 9 win team that's barely scraping and clawing to trying to get into the playoffs with a bunch of older players that, you know, really, when you look at it, their best days are behind them. And I think when you look at the players that the Titans have now, their best days are behind them, and you want to play some of these young guys, get in better draft position to be able to rebuild and retool, because you have enough young talent on this team that it probably wouldn't take you that long to retool and then make another run at it in a couple of years.
Junie, I think what you said there was absolutely perfect in the sense of the worst place to be in the sports world is mediocre. 7 wins, 8 wins, sitting at a little bit above, a little bit below 500, because at least you know if you stink for a couple years, like the Jacksonville Jaguars, then you get a number one overall pick, and now you have your franchise quarterback in Trevor Lawrence and a couple guys around him that can make plays. And listen, they could be in Trevor Lawrence's second season winning the AFC South. And I think that for the years to come, they probably will own the AFC South if the Titans decide to stay where they are and not blow it up and retool. We got a couple tweets on Twitter about this rebuild and what they think that the Tennessee Titans should do. Listen, if you want to weigh in on our phone and text line, if you have any thoughts on this game, on the season, on the franchise as a whole, you can text us, call us, 615-737-1025, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. The number is 615-737-1025. What are your thoughts? Should the Titans blow it all up and rebuild? Junie and I will discuss on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Michelle and Junie Show on 1025, 1063 in the Game Nashville app.
Consistent. We have to be consistent. We have to, no matter what it be, in the building, practice, meetings, you know, game. I mean, because that's what it is. You know, we driving, we stopping. But the last drive, they got a touchdown. How can we be more consistent? And that's exactly what I told the team, with just the small details and small things to be more consistent.
You're expecting people outside this building to give up on this team?
I don't care. I honestly don't care, man. I love all fans. I love the support we have. I don't care, man. Only guys I care about is this locker room. Not saying it like that, but I mean that's the only thing I can focus on right now. I mean, because everyone outside of us don't matter right now, because we out there playing. We have to figure it out in this locker room, and we all we need right now.
You mentioned the consistency within the building. Coach Vrabel had mentioned how everyone may need to put in a little bit more. And he went with outside of the building. When you hear that, like, what do you think when you hear that?
Preparation, you know. It's not all about, you know, watching film in the room, and it's all about taking care of your body and room, your nutrition, your sleep. All that stuff come in play when we're talking about football, because recovery is a big key. And the mental, you know, when you go home, are you watching film, are you doing extra study and things in that next? Because, quite frankly, we do have a lot of young guys playing for us. You know, what are we doing outside of the building to prepare to play these games, because it's not going to get any easier.
That was Jeffrey Simmons after the loss to the Houston Texans on Saturday, just saying, you know, the work is not only done in the building with the team. A lot of these young guys need to adapt the fact that once you leave the facility, the work isn't done. You got to focus on your sleep. You got to focus on your nutrition, and also touched on the mental aspect. When you're in a 5-game losing streak like this, I know you're beating the drum to let's stay positive, but your mental focus does have a lot to do too with how you perform on Sundays, and it is not just in the building. Listen, make sure you check out Nashville's best deals. Get half off gift cards from Old School Pizza Nashville, B-Cycle, and more. Visit thegamenashville.com/deals while supplies last. And then also, we got a quick turnaround week. We got a little Thursday night football action as the Cowboys come to town. So tune in for the NFL pregame show this Thursday night, live from Sonny's Patio and Pub Refuge, located at 1322 6th Ave North in Germantown. Join Jared Stillman and former Titans wide receivers Chris Sanders, Derek Mason from 5 to 7 prior to the Titans taking on the Dallas Cowboys. NFL pregame show is brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, and Superbook Sports and Ounce of Hope Cannabis Company. Junie, before the break, I said there were a lot of people on Twitter, a lot of people saying, you know, they want to rebuild, right? Get rid of Henry, you know, get rid of Tannehill, get rid of some of the other guys we mentioned just to free up some room, free up some cap space, such as, you know, a Bud Dupree, a Robert Woods, who else did we mention on
Robert Woods, Bud Dupree,
Taylor Lewan, yep, that's a big one I'm thinking of. Zach Cunningham, what are your thoughts on, you know, getting rid of a Kevin Byard, right? You know, a guy who's such a big, impactful leader on this team, but also is getting up there in age.
It would be tough. I mean, it would be really. I mean, we've spoken to Kevin Byard in the locker room, and I mean, really, his voice resonates with his teammates. It really does. Him and Jeffrey Simmons are the vocal leaders of that defense. And we've seen Kevin Byard be an All Pro safety, but I mean, the bottom line is he's going to be 30 years old next year, and that's tough. I mean, because you know, especially for guys in the secondary. I mean. Corners, for the most part, you know, they start to burn out when they get in their 30s. Safeties can last a little bit longer, but it's not much. And when you're a guy that does as much as Kevin Byard does and you have as much wear and tear on those tires, it might be considered. And it might be hard to convince a guy like Kevin Byard, like, hey, you know, we're going to rebuild and retool, and we want you to be a part of it. It might be hard to convince a guy like that to do that. It's easier to do that for an Amani Hooker and for Jeffrey Simmons, whereas, you know, they're younger. They're about to get paid. They're about to be the faces of this franchise, because let's be honest here, this defense is what carries this team. And if they decide to keep the main young core of defensive players intact, then that's going to be the identity of this team, and they're going to be the leaders. You know, the Jeffrey Simmons is going to be the new Derrick Henry, you know, the main guy on this team. And so if they do move off the guys on offense, I think if they wanted the quickest turnaround, I mean, this is what I would do. I mean, you free up the cap space with the players that I had mentioned, and then you use that to retool and get the offensive line, and then you go out and get a young quarterback, more than likely in the 2024 class. And you got a guy on a rookie deal. You retooled the offensive line. Your strong suit is your defense, and you go from there. But I really wanted to chat with our producer Jared about this, because you know we've been kind of talking. We're both on the wave of rebuild. But Jared, when you look at this Titans team, what do you think? Do you think a rebuild is necessary, or do you think they should go for it another year?
I don't think it needs to be a full rebuild. I would say it needs to be more of a retooling. I'm not a big fan for the soft rebuilds that we've been prone to in this city. I just think this offense is one step away from abysmal. And if you were to lose Derrick Henry, you are abysmal. I just don't see a way that they can trade him or get rid of him. I understand, just like you said, Junie, not a lot of these players are going to want to stick around for a rebuild. So if you go into it with a full rebuild mentality, a lot of these players are going to want to jump ship, and their attitude could change towards this franchise and towards the game. I just think you have to get, like, Ryan Tannehill has done a lot since he's gotten here, but it's just frankly not enough. And it's not all on him. You know, last year's playoff game, you could say that was on him, throwing three picks. I mean, look, Tua, we just watched Tua last night throw three picks. He single-handedly lost that game for the Dolphins. Like, he threw three bad passes to the other team. And you can't do that and win games. And that's all maybe a mentality in the quarterback standpoint. But, like, this is going to be one of the better off seasons for quarterbacks, because you're going to have so many that could be up and that are going to be up for trading or free agents. I mean, Tom Brady. We don't know what's going to happen there. Aaron Rodgers, don't know what's going to happen there. There are so many people that could help this team take a step forward that if you get rid of your best player, Derrick Henry, and anybody can say it, Derrick Henry is the best player on offense. He's the best player on the whole team, probably.
Yeah.
And that you just can't, to me, you can't get rid of that. It would be just like the Preds in the situation that they were in last year when they were talking about maybe trying to move on from Philip Forsberg. I get it that this season's been at a slow start for him, but he's one of your best players on that team as well. And if you were to lose him, I just don't see a way that you can gain any kind of momentum going into the next year.
My one counter to that would be if you do move off Tannehill, I just don't think that Brady or Rodgers would want to come here with the situation with the offensive line until that's shored up, and the lack of receiver talent. I just feel like that would be a step down even for those teams, because, I mean, you look at the Bucs, and really their offensive line is in shambles because of injury, and they have a really good wide receiving core, whereas Green Bay, you know, they're young in the wide receiving core, but they have promise, they have talent, and their offensive line is pretty solid there. So I just don't think that they're in the position to go out and get an upgrade at quarterback like that. And I think that if you do want to move off Tannehill, you're going to have to move off Derrick Henry and just completely reset the offense, because this offense without Ryan Tannehill is what we saw on Saturday. It's what we saw on Saturday, right? And still bottom of the barrel.
But you also, sorry, Michelle, just real quick.
No, go.
I, I was a big fan for Josh Dobbs being signed by the Titans. Junie, I told you this earlier.
Yeah.
It's not because of the Vols thing. You could take that out of it. That's awesome, and that's great to see. But at least that man can move the ball down the field. Malik Willis cannot move the ball down the field. There are absolutely no throws that have sizzled on that field at any times this year, and he started three and a half games. To me, you can make pretty clear sense that he is just not the answer at quarterback moving forward. And if that's the case, why would you continue to stay stagnant and maybe give yourself a better opportunity by starting Josh Dobbs? I get it that it was on a short week when they signed him and that you didn't expect him to play, but this is a even shorter week, and he's had a little bit of time. Maybe throw him in there and see what you got, because honestly, like you said, this game is a throwaway game for the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, it's not going to affect us. The real test is on week 18, and I just don't see this going in a positive direction.
I like that point. Dobbs on Thursday when it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Well, and I like that point as well, right? You know, we talked about Thursday. Throw out some options. Be risky. Try some different schemes. Move some guys around, because as we've all mentioned, this Thursday game does not matter, right? Obviously, the guys want to win. I said the only way it'll matter is just to bring up the morale in the Tennessee Titans locker room. And moving into week 18, you know, if you see some bright lights from Josh Dobbs and you think, okay, you know, we would rather start him heading into week 18 because we think we could have a better chance at winning this game. But I want to play devil's advocate a little bit and throw out this option to you guys on the other side of the break regarding this Tennessee Titans rebuild, retool, or how this team could somewhat stay together but also move forward. Coming up next on the Michelle and Junie Show on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. Welcome back into the Michelle and Junie Show. I'm Michelle Knezovic, joined with Junie Riddle and Jared Cassidy. Hope everybody had a great holiday and is looking forward to the new year. Safe travels, traveling as everybody tries to get back home. And hopefully all this snow and freezing weather is gone soon. Our show is presented by the Nashville Jam Company, Nashville's premier breakfast and brunch spot. I definitely need to hit up the Jam Company when I'm back in town. Also presented by Superbook Sports. We will be making our Monday Night Football picks coming up at 10:45. We are on for 30 more minutes talking about the Tennessee Titans after their loss to the Houston Texans 19-14. And now looks like week 18 will be the battle for the AFC South. But I mentioned this before we headed to break, guys. We talked about, you know, Thursday's game coming up, Thursday Night Football. You got the Cowboys in town. Could be a good opportunity to start Josh Dobbs, former Tennessee quarterback who they recently signed because Ryan Tannehill, you know, is struggling with that ankle injury right now. And Ian Rapoport reported that he would be getting some surgery on the ankle to then hopefully be ready for the playoffs if the Tennessee Titans do win the South and end up going to the playoffs. But, you know, unsure of Ryan Tannehill's health. He's been pretty much playing through that ankle injury for a majority of the season. You know, but I want to throw something out to you guys. And we've talked about, you know, a rebuild and what that potentially could look like for this Tennessee Titans team. A lot of fans have said, you know, just lose these next two games. You're on the cusp of a top 10 draft pick. And we're done with this season, blow it up. And let's just try to go full rebuild mode to then hopefully be back in the contention for potentially a Super Bowl in the next 2-3 years. Okay, I want to look at it this way. So what if we don't blow it all up, right? So look at this defense. Let's look at some of the young guys that, you know, have kind of struggled with injury this year, but could be on the rise, could be on the mend heading into next year. Okay. So you've got Jeffrey Simmons, Danico Autry, David Long Jr., Roger McCreary, Christian Fulton, Elijah Molden. I think that's it. Rashad Weaver, right? So those are seven. Rashad Weaver's borderline. You need somebody who can rush the passer better, but still a young guy that could have some promise. You kind of need somebody else, you know, with him. But those are some guys who've struggled with injuries, right? So the main ones are Elijah Molden, Amani Hooker, David Long Jr., Christian Fulton. Roger McCreary's actually been
Harold Landry is the big one
that I'm forgetting. Then you also got Danico Autry and Jeffrey Simmons. All of those guys were healthy at the same time. This defense would look leaps and bounds different than it did this year. And even we talked to Bud Dupree, and I remember when Danico Autry was out, and I said, are you frustrated? And I know you can't help these injuries, but are you frustrated that you can't actually see what this defense could look like if everybody was healthy on the field? And he just kind of looked, and he gave me the shrug, and he was like, I mean, yeah, like, he's like, it sucks. And for a while this year, and I know the stat's going to be crazy to bring up now, but up until the Thursday night football game in Green Bay, this defense had a 6-game streak of having 3 sacks and 1 interception. The last active streak of that was the 85 Bears, Junie.
No, I mean they were playing really, really good.
So if you look at this team, right? Okay, so all those guys, say all those guys come back that I said on defense, right? Okay, and then Nicholas Petitfrere, another year under his belt, you know, say Taylor Lewan does take a pay cut. I don't think he'll be on the roster, but say he takes a pay cut, right? And then Aaron Brewer, maybe Ben Jones retires. Aaron Brewer is your center moving forward. Okay, and then you try to, I know it's a lot easier said than done, but could you get a guy like a David Questenberry you had a year ago, which now you're looking back at it and you're like, oh, you'd love to have him compared to what you have now. And I know it's, listen, everybody has their offensive line, you know, their first string, their second string, and their third string, and nobody wants to give them up. But maybe you draft a guy high, and then maybe you go out and get a number one wide receiver. And you keep Tannehill and you keep Henry, and Chigakonkwo gets another year older. You know, Treylon Burks gets another year older. You know, maybe you sign Austin Hooper on another 1-year deal. It doesn't look that bad.
But,
right?
you also have to look at, you know, the cap situation as well. I mean, they're right now, according to Spotrac.com, I mean, they're $15 million over the cap. And, you know, they're, and right now, you know, the Titans, they aren't one of those franchises that can dish out a lot of money. I mean, I think, in my opinion, that was the primary reason that A.J. Brown got traded, was because they knew that they had to pay both him and Jeffrey Simmons. And when you look at a guy that, which one of these guys is going to be more easily replaceable, you look at the wide receiver, because there's about 10 wide receivers that come out every single year that are instantly going to produce, some at a higher level, some, you know, some at a mid-tier level. So it's easier to replace a wide receiver than it is a big-time defensive lineman like a guy like Jeff Simmons. So it's, I don't know. I just see this as an offensive league now. You know, this in the NFL, you used to be able to win with powerhouse defenses, but, you know, it's only going to get you so far. And we've seen what, you know, guys like Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes have been able to do to this defense in the past. And I know the Titans have played the Chiefs really well, but, you know, some of those games, the Titans were also putting up a lot of points, and the Chiefs had put up some points as well. So, you know, you need to really look and dive into your offense, and I just don't see Ryan Tannehill, even if the line is shored up at this point in his career, and Derrick Henry probably going to take another slight step back next season. And it's better to move off guys a year early. And I just think if they keep trying to hold on and keep saying, well, what if this happens? What if this happens? And the likelihood of all of those things falling into place is highly unlikely as well. You know, it's like, well, if everything goes right for us, I mean, the Preds have been saying that for the last 3 years too. So at a certain point, you need to look at reality and know that, oh, you know, it'd be nice to say, oh, we can just draft a guy at offensive line. Well, how do we know if that guy is going to pan out? Isaiah Wilson sure didn't. You know, it's like you never know. And it's like if you mess up and make a few mistakes here and there and it doesn't work out perfectly, like the plan you just laid out, it's easy to say it. It's another thing to go out and do it. And
okay,
I just think if you look at what's the most likely outcome, you're looking at a team that is a fringe playoff team, while you're also looking at a Jacksonville team that is starting to hit their stride and hit their peak. And I think next year, Jacksonville going in, because they're going to win the division this year. They're going to. With how depleted the Titans are, they're going to win the division. And I think they're going to be the team to beat in this division for years to come. And the Titans are going to be a fringe playoff team if they bring this core back, which, again, being in the middle in this league is not where you want to be.
Well, and I'll play devil's advocate again for you, okay? You said, you know, we'll say if you try to keep the core of this team together and, you know, you try to draft an offensive lineman, you don't know if it's going to work. Okay, well, say you try to blow up the team and next year you want to draft a quarterback and you draft the May guy from UNC and you think he's going to be, you know, this generational quarterback and he's not, right? So, and then you go play the, okay, well, you know, can we get a, is Malik Willis our backup? Do we want to start him, right? You got the young rookie, or do you want to try to go get a veteran quarterback? So, you know, you could play that game any way you want to play it. But, you know, I look at this team at the first half of the season, and yeah, you can say, okay, they lost to – they didn't beat a playoff team in those first, you know, 10 games, right, when they were 7-3. But, you know, they did go head-to-head with the Chiefs, and – that is something to say about it. And the NFL is the NFL, you know. So I think that you could go another year and try to figure it out. Because when you looked at this team at the beginning of the year, when they were healthy, there were some bright spots from the offensive line. There were some things to look at. But I do also get the sense of where we are right now in this point of the season. And they've lost 5 in a row. And it's like, okay, is it time? But think about how close they were last year.
And it's not the, it's not the same team. It's not the same team. That team is done. It's over with. Taylor Lewan is done. Roger Saffold is not here anymore. Derrick Henry got injured. A.J. Brown is not here anymore. This is not the same team. We're not talking about the same guys. Listen, when Amy Adams Strunk fired John Robinson and sent a message that he wasn't doing a good enough job, they have championship expectations. Listen, you're right. They could go out and draft a guy in 2023, in 2024, and they not pan out. But listen, you have a better option with going with a rookie quarterback trying to restart that window and risking it rather than knowing that you're going to stick with this core and stay mediocre. If you want to, you know, be a borderline fringe playoff team to keep fans in the seats and get that money revenue for the next couple years, then do it. But it's not going to win you a championship. If you're going to tell me right now that Ryan Tannehill, as he gets older, Derrick Henry, as he gets older, is going to help this team compete for a championship, I'm going to tell you you're fooling yourself. It's time to move on, and good organizations move on at the right time. Right now, the Titans are at a crossroads. Mike Vrabel was right. And they can go one way or they can go the other. Stay mediocre or risk it and try and go and make another run at this. And for me personally, I would risk it and make the run at it. I just think if you are setting that expectation for this team, it is better to go with a young rookie quarterback that you believe in, that you invested a first-round draft pick in, and try and regenerate this offense with a completely different look. Because I had mentioned this to you earlier. When they drafted Marcus Mariota in 2016, that was the beginning of the window. They hadn't had a losing season since that year. And when you have a rookie quarterback on a rookie deal and you're not paying all that money to a top-tier guy, that's when you go for it. And for right now, with all the money that's being dished out to all these older players that aren't playing at a high level or are injured, you're just setting yourself up to be the mediocre Titans that are a fringe playoff team that aren't going to go anywhere and do anything. And I think when your owner is trying to set that precedent, it's time to set the reset button, retool, and you can go at it for in a couple years. That's all I got to say.
But the thing is, we have to go to break soon, but the thing is, you know, this is the first year they've been a mediocre team. You know, they were in the AFC Championship a couple years ago, and I know you're saying don't look back at that, but I mean, this is the first year that they've shown mediocrity. They've had winning seasons under John Robinson. Okay, now you fire your GM. Okay, now you want to blow it all up. You have no idea who's even going to be drafting these players because you don't know what GM you're going to have. And listen, I don't agree with the John Robinson move to fire him in season, but okay, so you're going to blow it all up with a new GM. You know, sometimes the grass isn't always greener on the other side. And if you decide to blow it all up and you get a new GM and he doesn't draft well, you could be set back for years to come. We're going to continue this other discussion. We're going to continue this discussion on the other side. I think Junie and I have a lot more thoughts on it. We got some thoughts on Twitter and the text line. Listen, call, text 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You're listening to the Michelle and Junie Show coming up on our last segment today, 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. Last segment of the show today. Welcome into the Michelle and Junie Show on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. You hear the song, you hear the money song. If you've never listened to our show before, you know that that means it is time to pick some winners. We're going to pick the Monday Night Football matchup. Also going to pick the Thursday Night Football matchup. I'm Michelle Knezovic, live from Chicago today. We've got Junie Riddle and Jared Cassidy both in Nashville today. But before we make our picks on those two NFL games this week, we're talking a little AFC South. We're talking a little bit of a Tennessee Titans rebuild. Junie, you and I had a heated discussion, me playing a little devil's advocate with you in the last segment on just taking a look at, you know, the resume that this Tennessee Titans team has put together in these last couple of years, you know, since John Robinson and Mike Vrabel took over, and then to have, you know, a shocking turn of events this year with the John Robinson firing in the middle of the season, and now the Tennessee Titans barely holding on as we round out the season. Heading into week 18 will be a battle for the AFC South on whether they will go to the playoffs or not. We both think that the Jags are on a heater right now and that they will be the ones heading to the playoff, winning the AFC South in week 18. And for, you know, moving forward with Trevor Lawrence at the helm, rookie quarterback, right, finally has a Super Bowl winning coach, Doug Peterson, and has really showed that this second year he has been able to really take that next step as a quarterback. And I saw a stat too, and it said, you know, he has been the leading quarterback since week 9. I think in whether it's like accuracy or whether it's, you know, QBR rating, but Trevor Lawrence really has, you know, figured something out. And I know that he is going to be a threat for the Tennessee Titans team and everybody in the AFC South moving forward. But, you know, we talked on, you know, should they retool, should they rebuild, who would they keep, who would they not keep, and things like that. But who's going to be the GM, right? So we can talk about this rebuilding, retooling, and how John Robinson has missed in some drafts. I actually do think this most recent draft, you know, you got some promising guys out of it, such as Roger McCreary, Chika Conquo, even seeing Hassan Haskins, you know, as the third running back in there. Treylon Burks, Kyle Phillips, still unsure, obviously, about Malik Willis, but haven't been, you know, too impressed by him. Definitely a third round pick, definitely a rookie quarterback. Maybe he'll be a backup someday. Who knows? But, you know, you're going to have a fully new guy come in. And, you know, as soon as the season is over, as soon as you figure out, okay, is this team going to be in the playoffs? Is this team going to not going to be in the playoffs? You're going to have some person come in, you know, obviously, I'm sure they'll be qualified. You know, I'm sure Vrabel will approve. Amy Abendschrunk will approve. You know, I'll fit the culture. But, okay, now he's got a draft for your team. And I mentioned this before, you know, as much as, you know, you can point blame at John Robinson for not having, you know, some great drafts. He also drafted, you know, Jeffrey Simmons, A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry, Kevin Byard, right? There are some bright lights in there. And to have a new guy come in, you know, at the end of the season or right before the end of the season, and then flip it around and have to draft for your team, you know, that's another aspect that is a bit concerning if you are trending toward the rebuild, retool.
Well, and that's why I kind of think that they might go towards that direction, because when you have a new GM come in, you know, oftentimes they like to clean out house and they like to start fresh with their own decisions, because if they keep a lot of these guys that are from the previous GM, and those are that GM's players, you know, So he's going to want to come in and kind of leave his mark and show like, hey, you know, I want to get my guys in here that I feel that's going to turn this ship around. And I feel anybody that has a semblance of football knowledge is going to understand that, you know, as great as Derrick Henry is. I wouldn't be upset if the Titans held on to him for next season. I think they likely will, because he's still a really, really good player. But, you know, he's getting up there in age, and it that at least has to be a conversation. And even with him, you know, letting him know, like, listen, it's not that we don't want you. It's not that we don't think that you can play anymore. But I just we just think that this organization needs to go in a new direction in order for us to get where we want to be and put you in a position to where you want to be, to where he's actually on a team that is contending for a title. So I for me personally, I think it just has to be a conversation with him. You know, Ryan Tannehill, we mentioned some of the veteran guys that have big contracts that are just banged up and aren't producing. Taylor Lewan, Robert Woods, Zach Cunningham, Bud Dupree, the guys like that that could really free up a lot of space. And I just think that if you were to decide on those guys, I think those guys are for sure gone. But the big guys that are really going to decide where the Titans want to go this offseason is what are they going to do with Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry. And for me personally, if you get rid of one, you have to get rid of both.
Well, and the thing is, too, I mean, I remember after the firing, talking to the guys in the locker room, Kevin Byard in particular, and saying, you know, John Robinson drafted you, right? And
yeah.
He said, you know, my wife is really close with his wife and we're close with his family. But, you know, at the end of the day, they're trying to keep their jobs, right? And for whatever GM is going to come in here and he sees, wow, they just lost the last 7 games of the season if they lose these next 2, right? They're on a 5-game losing streak. And these guys are thinking, you know, I'm playing for my life. I don't know who's going to be in charge next year. I could get cut, yeah. Right? I mean, there are some guys, you know, Jeffrey Simmons knows I'm not going to get cut and things like that. But You don't know that for sure, right? Another GM could come in and say, yep, we're blowing the whole thing up. You know, we're trading all these people. I want as much cap space. I want draft picks. I want draft capital. I want this to be my team. So I do think that the firing of John Robinson in the middle of the season did play more of a role. And then it just kind of started to snowball towards the end of the season, right? I don't think it was the sole purpose of why this team has had such a downfall in the second half of the season. But, you know, I think the AJ Brown game, right, the entire conversation in the locker room, in the press conferences leading up to that game was about AJ Brown. So then you play the game, you get blown out by the Eagles, your former teammate, all this just drama and outside noise, you know, playing a role into that. Okay. Then you have Thursday night, or was Thursday night football before? Well, whatever, besides the point. That's another game. You have Thursday night football. You have this great win on Thursday night football. You beat the Packers. You know, you're celebrating. The offense looked explosive in that game. Todd Downing has a great game calling plays. Then he gets hit with the DUI the next morning. That's another topic of conversation where all the questions were surrounding that.
Okay. I mean, not only is it injuries, and I'll make this real quick point before we go into our picks, but it's injuries, it's distractions, it's firings,
it's
everything.
It's firings.
It's all incumbent. It's all incumbent in why the season has fallen apart.
Well, and that was my point exactly, Junior. So we can talk about the injuries, we can talk about the outsized noise, but you know, it's all of those factors that have played a role and that have ended in a snowball effect. And, you know, who knows what Thursday will hold. And we're going to make our picks in just a second here. We got about 2 minutes left until we leave you today. But, you know, it'll be very shocking if they do win the AFC South. But I think it's going to be the Jaguars to lose moving forward. Okay, guys, like I said, we got Monday Night Football. We got the Colts and the Chargers. The Chargers are favored by 4 points. It is in Indianapolis. We just saw Indianapolis get wrecked by the Vikings, up 30 points, and the Vikings come back and get the win. I have no faith in this Indianapolis team, so give me the Chargers minus the 4. I think Justin Herbert has looked really, really good. I also think that this Chargers team is getting healthy at the right time. Junie?
I completely agree. I believe the Colts are benching Matt Ryan again.
Yep, benching him again.
So, yeah.
Nick Foles is starting.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, that's interesting, actually.
Super Bowl quarterback winning Nick Foles.
But, again, the Chargers are playing for playoff positioning. They want to stay in that mix. So, give me the Chargers tonight. They're rolling hot.
Yeah.
Jared?
I will take the Chargers any day. Anytime when they're playing the Colts, I'm just completely out on the Colts. Last week cemented it. Or 2 weeks ago when we did the Vikings game, and I was like, they're a fraud team. Well, they made me eat my words, so I will own up to that.
Well, listen, I think that's some easy money for you, Chargers minus four. Lastly, really quick, Thursday Night Football in Nashville, guys, rapid fire. This is a hard one, though, for me. Cowboys favored by 9.5 points. I think that is a huge spread, but I also think that they might bench some Tennessee Titans players to stay healthy to try to get the win in Jacksonville. So give me the Cowboys minus the 9.5. Junie, rapid fire.
I'm going the same. Cowboys won. They're still playing for the NFC East. Give me the Cowboys.
Yeah, it's all chalk. Give me the Cowboys. They're the better team.
Listen, we have got all the same picks today. Listen, thank you guys for joining us today. Hope you had a happy holidays and a safe and healthy new year. Coming up next at 11 a.m., you got Chase McCabe talking some NASCAR, and then you have Stillman and Company from 2 to 6 regular time today. Have a great day, Nashville. Listen to Michelle and Junie Show on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app.